You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're racing at Lingfield, Musselburgh and Catterick in the afternoon, Bath and Kempton in the evening with an Irish card from Bellewstown alongside that. And you'll hear every race live, of course, on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Dave Kellner, Gary Capel and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me to look ahead to some of Wednesday's action, making his racing podcast debut, is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kevin?
Not too bad, mate, yeah.
Good. Been amongst the winners lately, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, York was okay. I had a couple of winners at York, but I made the mistake of trying to find winners in Ireland at the same time.
So, right.
And it didn't really work out very well for me last Thursday, unfortunately, but that kind of negated some of the good work I'd done at York. But hey, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, it always seems to be the way that you can rarely be firing at two meetings at the same time. One tends to be up, one tends to be down.
It's the opposite ends of the scale, yeah. As well. You've got the top class action at York that you have a good grip on the form, and then you're trying to muddle around for bits and pieces of winners at a much lower meeting in Ireland. But I thought I had a grip on the form over there, and it failed miserably. But hey, that's just the nature of things,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully you can get back on track with some of the races that we've got later on. Highlights of the Ebor meeting for you, Kevin?
There were several. I've always liked Arabian Queen. I obviously didn't tip or back her.
Yeah.
But
we'll forgive you for not finding that one.
Let me off that one. But she's a filly that I've liked since she was a 2-year-old. She was running over 6 and 7 furlongs last year, but she was always going to be better over a mile plus. And I actually quite fancied her when she won at Epsom earlier on in the year, so I was really pleased to see her win. Also, another filly I really like. It's been a season of fillies for me, actually. You know, Faddy Hill, Barry Hills' filly, won on Saturday. You know, and again, terrific placing from Barry Hills. You know, to make good advantage of her age and sex allowances against older horses, and she pulled it out really, really well under Paul Hannigan. But overall, you know, it was a terrific meeting.
Yeah, fantastic week of action on the Naismire. And as you mentioned there, obviously the Judmont was one of the features of the week. We were robbed, however, of the big battle that everyone was building up to, the Golden Horn versus Glen Eagles tussle. But we might see them both go to Leopardstown for the Irish Champion Stakes.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one because we just don't know how conditions are going to be there either. You know, and that air of invincibility has been lifted from Golden Horn, yeah, to a certain extent now. So if the ground does come up soft again, you question whether or not John Gosden would pitch him in there. But at the same time, you feel he might want to get a run into him to get him hard fit for the Arc. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. And again, the same applies for Glen Eagles. You know, is O'Brien going to want to step him up to a mile and two if the ground is at Leopardstown has cut in the ground? It's shaping up to be a really interesting race. Yesterday, I was reading that Kevin Manning is really pitching to get Playscock into that race.
Yeah.
And for me, she's, again, a filly that I've been following all season. And she's 10-1 with William Hill for that race.
Yeah, that's right.
And if she gets there on the day, and even if she's a couple of points shorter, I think she could be the real fly in the ointment. You know, fillies have gone well in the past in that race. You know, the likes of Ouija Board and that have really served it up in the past. And the Grey Gatsby is in there as well, and Time Test is in the mix, so it's probably shaping up to be a terrific race.
Yeah, and if you fancy one of those, you know, possibly back them now, because as you say, Golden Horn and Glen Eagles might be taken out of the betting. You'll obviously get bigger prices. Just run you through the prices as we have them here at William Hill for the Irish Champion Stakes. 7-4 for Golden Horn. Free Eagle, 9-4. 7-2 for Glen Eagles. The Grey Gatsby is the 7's chance, and it's 10's for Players Clark and Time Test. Bigger prices for the rest of them in that one. Interesting line this morning from Aidan O'Brien regarding Glen Eagles. He's been obviously trained for three races, been pulled out of all three. What kind of effect will that have on the horse? Because I noticed Aidan O'Brien, you know, talking about that possibly have a negative effect on him. It's not really something I'd sort of noticed or thought about, what happens to the horse when it's trained for a race and doesn't get the run.
It's an interesting one. I mean, he seems to be a horse that has a pretty straightforward professional constitution. But, you know, when you're building a horse up to a race, but, you know, he says it himself all the time that he doesn't really do a great deal with horses in between races. You know, he'll say, we haven't done much with this one since the last day. And perhaps that's just because they don't, you know, he doesn't need to do it. It just keeps them ticking over. But, you know, it's a fair point, especially stepping up in trip against the likes of Free Eagle. You know, Free Eagle is the one who has had the no-nonsense build-up to this race. You know, he won at Ascot, and since then it's just been this race in mind all along. So if you're looking to have a bet on the real solid option in the race, it would have to be Free Eagle, really, wouldn't it, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably agree there. It looks the most consistent of them. The same day, obviously, of the Irish Champion Stakes, we'll have the St Ledger from Doncaster, and we saw a contender emerge again from the Ballydoyle Yard for that one in the shape of Order of St George, who was victorious at the Curragh over the weekend. That's been installed as the 9-2 joint favourite with Storm the Stars, who obviously saw win at York, and we've seen place twice in the English Derby and the Irish Derby. It's had a bit of a hard season, Storm the Stars. It's been running plenty. Order St George, Bondi Beach in there as well, who was beaten by Storm the Stars in York. Any early thoughts for the Ledger?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Order St George, and I think it's a bit of a shame that Kingfisher and the other horse that was in that race ran well below form. Good Tradition. It would have been nice to see if they'd ran right up to form, how, you know, Order of St George would have finished in front of them. What we ended up with was him pulling clear of Sea Moon, who was having his first run for John Ox, and indeed his first run for about 307 days. So it remains to be seen exactly what that piece of form will amount to, but he did it in really good fashion, and he can only improve from that. Of the O'Brien gang, I was really taken by the run of Bondi Beach at York last week behind Storm the Stars, and interestingly enough, I was in the paddock after that race, after the Great Voltigeur, and I heard William Haggis saying that Storm the Stars really gives himself a hard time when he's racing. He gives himself a hard race, and you could see afterwards he was blowing quite hard. So it was interesting to hear William Haggis say that he had a hard race, and it'd be interesting to see indeed if it does leave its mark. But at the same time, you know, he's a terrific trainer. He'd hardly leave his St Ledger behind him when it's been pretty much his target all season. But by the same token, of the two, I would probably prefer to back Bondi Beach at 11-2 with William Hill overtaking Storm the Stars as favourite. Bondi Beach has finished in front of Order of St George before when they met, so... Yeah,
and I suppose there's the argument that if Bondi Beach hadn't taken those couple of bumps in the last furlong by Storm the Stars, obviously we had a lengthy stewards inquiry that followed. There is a line of thinking that some people say without those bumps he might have finished ahead of him anyway.
I'm not sure about that one. I mean, I heard Joseph O'Brien arguing in the stewards room with Pat Cosgrave.
Yeah.
And I think Pat Cosgrave did have the upper hand in that argument.
Yeah,
slightly.
Yeah, Pat was plenty confident, wasn't
he?
Yeah, he was.
And they walked off not really saying much to each other.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting to get that insight.
It was, It was it showed the difference in personality between the two jockeys as well, didn't it?
I thought.
You know, Joseph O'Brien's probably a bit more of a shy, retiring type, whereas, as I said, Pat Cosgrave, he seemed pretty confident that the result was going to stay.
But at the same time, he's not afraid to put his point across.
No, of course, yeah.
You know, he's professional when he does that. But yeah, you know, the top three in the market, there's not a great deal between them, is there, Sam? And I still think, you know, Mr. Singh, slightly further down. What price is he now?
7-1, Mr. Singh.
Again, you know, Mr. Gosden, the record that he has in the St Ledger, this horse was pretty impressive last time out. He beat a couple of good yardsticks, and he can only improve from that. So it's a tricky race, as usual. I don't know if Covert Love is going to go for that race. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if she does. But again, she'd be one, if she did, that would have a massive chance. I thought Giovanni Canaletto looked terrific in the paddock at York last week, but he just ran below form, and I it was a bit disappointing seeing how well he looked. I thought he'd really run well that day, but he failed to put in his best form. But yeah, an interesting race.
Yeah, certainly will be. Prices then for St. Ledger, Order of St. George and Storm the Stars are 9-2 joint favourite at the time of recording. 11-2 Bondi Beach, Mr. Singh 7-1, 8-1 Fields of Athenry, Covert Love is a 14th chance and it's 16th. Bar those, we certainly look forward to St. Ledger and the Irish Champion Stakes in a few weeks' time. But we must move on to matters closer at hand. And that is Wednesday's racing. We've got two from Catterick and two from Kempton that we'll be guiding you through on this edition of the podcast. We'll start with the action at Catterick. We'll start with their 340. This one is a 7 furlong handicap. It's a class 4 event. We've got the dead 8 at the time of recording, so there could be a good each way angle into the race. What did you make of it, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the key point to make, it's going to be soft ground, and quite a few of these are going to struggle to go on, or at least have question marks over their ability to go on the ground and indeed stay the trip. You know, the top weight in the 340 Especial has been running over 6 furlongs, you know, primarily, and I question whether that one will get home. And another interesting one is Marakib, who ran well on his debut for David O'Mara last time out, and you know, you'd imagine that he'd be able to find a little bit more improvement from that. But the one I like from down the bottom weight is Liberal Angel, Carl Burke's 3-year-old filly. Won last time out quite well. It's drawn in one. Stays a bit further, so that you know, I think the fact that she's drawn in one and she should get out quite quickly. And if it turns into a bit of a slog, she's got good form over further and she stays well on soft ground. So I think that angle is a good angle into the race. As I say, down the bottom of the weights off 8-5. I think she'll just about do for me.
Okay, Liberal Angel then getting the selection for Kevin in that 340 at Catterick. We'll stay at Catterick for our next race then an hour later, the 440. This one is a handicap over an extended mile and 3 furlong trip. 9 of them lining up to contest this class 4. A couple of eye-catching ones here, Kevin.
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting race, this one. You've got the likes of Triple Dip, who's been contesting top handicaps recently. I just think that one might be a little bit high in the handicap at the moment. Classic Villager comes here on a 3-timer as well for Chris Wall, Graham Lee. But I've just been really taken by how Tim Easterby and David Allen have been teaming up this month. I think they've fired in about 9 winners together this month, and they just keep coming up with their turn. You know, just kind of under the radar almost, but it's a really busy yard, and they keep churning out loads of winners. And Multelli won by 6 lengths at Ripon last time out. Again, another one who goes well on soft ground. And I'm not sure that the hike in the weight is going to be enough to stop that one if it can get a good start to the race.
Multelli then, the selection in that one?
Yeah, Multelli,
yeah,
for me.
On the back of that good strike rate then for Tim Easterby. Move on then to Kempton for some action from the Polytrack. We'll start with their 7.55. This one is a 2-mile handicap. 6 of them lining up for this class 4. Who's on the shortlist?
Well, it's a 6-runner race, which I quickly got down to 3 who I think will be the ones to take out of the race. Gavlard, a top weight, put in a career best last time out to win, was pretty well supported that day, carries a £6 penalty this time, just appears to me to be a little bit of a one-paced horse, and hasn't particularly impressed me on the speed figures, and I'm just not, he's not a horse that convinces me completely in terms of his ability to, you know, to rack up win after win. The other one is Fresh Kingdom, a course winner, you know, will be a lot more better suited to this type of a race. But I think the one that I'm looking at is up in class, I should say. But Frederick Chopin, Michael Appleby's horse down the bottom off 8-9, was a course and distance winner here in May. Has been running really well at Lingfield since. And stays very well, and gets on well with Tom Queeley as well. And it's a trappy little affair. Gavlard, the top horse, he's got an entry in the Cesarewitch, and he could be the type to, you know, he could just be a little bit too good for these. But Frederick Chopin is a lower class of horse, but he's obviously getting a lot of weight from the likely favourite, and I just think that he could pull out a little bit more in the finish, given the difference in the weights there.
Okay, Frederick Chopin gets the vote then for Mick Appleby and Tom Queeley. Final race on today's podcast then comes from the 8.25 at Kempton. This one is a handicap over 1.3 miles. 8 of them will line up for this class 4. What did you like here?
The top weight, Taper Tantrum. Making his Polytrack debut. He's a son of Asamoah, trained by Michael Bell, and Jamie Spencer rides it. He was finished, he was a good second at Doncaster last time out, clocked a pretty good speed figure, and that pretty much got him back to his form of earlier on in the season, where he was third at the Derby meeting at Epsom. And it was definitely a step back in the right direction. And I think if he handles the ground, I think it'd be an interesting little project just to see how he goes at Lingfield. There's obviously plenty of horses in here that have got better experience on the poly track. I think he's going to be decent odds, Sam. I haven't seen prices for it. I've only seen forecast prices. But I think you'd be looking at something around 5 or 6 to 1 for that. For that top horse, Taper Tantrum, and I think he could go well, provided that he handles Lingfield on his first attempt.
Okay, yeah, Taper Tantrum then could be a nice juicy price to get stuck into in the 8.25. Just remind us, please, then, Kevin, of your four selections for the action on Wednesday.
Yeah, in the 3.40 at Catterick, I'm going to go with Liberal Angel to make best of a good draw and the fact that she stays further. The 4.40, Multelli, again, horse that acts well on soft ground, is in really good form for a really potent trainer jockey combination at the moment. And in the 7.55 at Kempton, Frederick Chopin might be able to make best of coming in there off bottom weight. And the 8.25 Taper Tantrum, making Polytrack debut, turned the corner last time out at Doncaster, and I think he should go well.
Okay, there we are. You've been listening to the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley ahead of Wednesday's action. You hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Lingfield, Musselburgh and Catterick in the afternoon, Bath and Kempton in the evening, and there's also an Irish card from Bellewstown. It's Dave Kellner, Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio for all of the action on Wednesday afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast, Kevin. Best of luck with the selections.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.